Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
And welcome back to Onceable. Today we're going to be talking about Once Upon a Time Season 6, Episode 12, Murder Most Foul. I'm Brittany, and tonight I'm joined by Caitlin, who is our newest addition to the podcast, and we'd like to welcome back Karen and, of course, Kristen. How's everybody doing tonight?
Hi.
Pretty Hello. Good.
Hi, everybody.
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, Karen wasn't able to join us last week for the premiere episode, and Laura and Jen have stepped away for a little bit. They might pop in and out as the season goes on, but we've asked Caitlin, who if you listen to any of Hype People's podcasts, I'm sure you've heard her voice. She's our wonderful scheduler over on Rewatchable, and we love her. So we wanted her to come and talk about Once Upon a Time with us. She's always live tweeting. She's got a lot of good opinions, mainly because they align with ours. So we're very happy that she's here.
I was going to say, not that we filter anybody out because of that or anything.
But it just, if you have that person, you might as well invite them over to the playground. So we're very happy she's here. As always, if you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us on Twitter at Onceable or comment on this post on hypeable.com. And we did something new tonight, and I tried to live tweet, and it was very hard, and I commend anyone who live tweets. I'm always like, why do they make cast members live tweet shows? That's just a waste of their time. It's very hard work, so they're earning their paycheck by live tweeting, let me tell you. It's probably as hard as acting. Let's kick off this episode, which was really all about David and Hook. Man, it was a good time for me. By giving it our thumbs up or thumbs down, and we'll let Karen kick it off since she wasn't here last week.
Oh, thank you. I want to give this a thumbs up. Definitely had a lot of strong points, had a couple of weird moments, but like it's Once Upon a Time. I just kind of skim right by those these days. But overall, Hook and Charming working together, totally into it. I thought it was a really nice story.
Awesome. And Kristen, what about you?
Definite thumbs up, just based on Josh Dallas and David having a storyline, like a real one, not just like coddling, you know, Snow when things happen or reacting to the fact that his daughter is in trouble or something. Like he got his own storyline and it was awesome and really, really well handled. So I'm definitely a fan.
And Caitlin, your first up, thumbs down ever. What do you think?
I give it a thumbs up. I really love the Captain Charming bromance, and anything that puts more Killian on my screen makes me happy. And they were like literally embracing, so I don't know what else could have made me happier except for those last like 2 seconds not happening.
Yeah, true.
Oh, yeah, that was hard. I am also going to give it a thumbs up for all of the reasons already stated, but add in the fact that we got a scene with August, Charming, and Killian, which was like a fantasy I've had forever. So it happened and it was wonderful, and they're all bros and I want them to hang out all the time in their matching leather jackets. Also, David breaking down was like probably the best scene I've ever seen on this show. It felt so far above anything that Once Upon a Time has done so far that I was like, What show am I watching? This is so good.
This is the first time in a long time that all of the hosts have given the show a thumbs up.
I think so. I mean, that last week, Kristen and I both gave it a thumbs up, but there were only two of us, so that's a little
hardly
skewed.
Counts.
Yeah.
I just feel like that hasn't happened a whole lot. So
yeah,
Once Upon a Time.
We've had a good smattering of thumbs sideways in, I think, the last 2 years. At least every single episode has had one either thumbs down or thumbs sideways, which, yeah, four thumbs up that's a big deal. Good job, Once Upon a Time. It was the CGI. I'm telling you, if they just get the CGI up to par, we're willing to take anything. Let's move into our favorite quotes, and we'll kick it off with Caitlin, and I feel bad. I stole her quote. I'm sorry. But let's hear what you came up with after that.
Yeah, Brittany's is the funniest part. So I picked from when Killian went to go see Archie because he has father-in-law issues that he needs to work through. And he shows Archie the ring and says, and Archie says, Captain Hook buying a ring. That alone shows progress. And a big theme of this episode was how much Killian has changed.
That was great. I'm so glad Archie's still in the mix a little bit.
I know. I like it too.
Yeah, he's so good. Especially like Killian going there. Like, who would have thought he would go up there?
All people, yeah.
Wow, so good. Karen, what was your favorite quote?
Mine was between Emma and Hook outside of the shed when he's like, I have to share my feelings with you. And she's like, well, I like feelings once in a while. And I just like, what, on the one hand, think it's hilarious because it's true. Emma doesn't necessarily like to emote all that often. She kind of keeps everything bottled inside. And on the other hand, like, I just really relate to this because I don't necessarily like to emote a lot. So the I like feelings once in a while thing just really spoke to me.
Yeah, I think she was kind of like, okay, this isn't going to be a regular thing though, right? You're not going to have like all these breakdowns and want to talk all the time, right?
You are still dating Emma Swan. Like, yeah. let's not, you know, go overboard here. Overboard.
Pirate puns.
But genius.
All right, Kristen, what was your favorite?
Mine came from Hook, and it was just the way he delivered the line. It was when they were, like, talking about Pleasure Island, but we hadn't found out where it was yet, and, like, they found it on the map, and he goes, I know that place. It's a terrible, dark place called Pleasure Island. Just the way he said it, it was like, you expect it to be called, like, you know, the Island of Doom or something like that, and he's like, it's called Pleasure Island. And I was like, oh, my goodness.
But that whole scene where they're doing magic and they're like, just to be safe.
they spin in a circle. I was like, Karen. And she was looking at her phone and I went, wait, she goes, what? What did they just do? And she rewound it to watch it because it was just amazing.
It was great. I'm glad perfection. I rewound it.
And I'm going to not focus on David and Hook because I'm sure we're going to talk about them for the rest of the episode. But my favorite line was an exchange between new Robin and Regina when they're in her vault and he says, well, what's in these? She goes, the hearts of my enemies. Like, she's trying to show all this progress and be like, you don't have to be bad. And like, you know, revenge isn't good. Be a good person. And she's like, I just have this collection of all these hearts, you know, of people I don't like. But, you know, killing the Hottingham is like not the best idea in the world. So... Oh, speaking of which, can he be in every single episode, even if he's just doing exactly what he did here, walking down the street with a cup of coffee, just so I can look at him and then he can go on his merry way. Robin Hood
sounds good.
Oh, he's so attractive. So we're going to shake up the way we're covering the episodes a bit. I feel like doing a recappy thing doesn't either we get derailed talking about what we want to talk about and don't spend enough time talking about some other things. So I really like to kick off by just talking about the stuff that we loved, and then we can cover most of what happens from there. So I just want to give everybody a chance to guide the conversation, and we're gonna kick it off with Karen because I am just not feeling what she wrote here.
After our love fest last week,
I don't agree with this. 40 minutes of just talking about how wonderful and amazing August was. And Karen, please tell us what you're thinking about August.
I wrote down here, August is slimy and gross. Actually, Kristen wrote it down for me, so thank you for that.
And it was painful.
Oh, yes. Did that hurt?
Yes, okay? It did.
It should.
I should not type falsehoods like that, but I did it for Karen.
I will say, I don't want to dislike August. This pains me because I remember loving him so much when he was on the show before. I don't know what it is, but I look at his face and I don't trust him. And I feel like everything he does, like, especially in the premiere, I kept waiting for him to betray Emma. I expected him to be evil and for something to go wrong. And it never did, which was surprising. But every time, like him pulling up on the bike in this episode and handing the pages over, something about his face, I was like, I don't trust him. I feel like he's manipulating Hook for some reason right now, and it really confused me. I don't want to dislike him, but I do not trust him at all. And I hope that's wrong and I'm just really misreading him. I think I am, but there's just something about him that makes me really uncomfortable.
Yeah, but that's actually a really interesting point, like especially because he handed him those pages, but Hook isn't in those pages, which I think is an important point. Like, I don't think August knows that Hook killed David's father, which is good for all of us who like August, including you, Karen, because I think that it shows that he's not necessarily a villain, because when it cuts to the picture actually being the scene that's on TV, the guy steps away and Hook is behind him because he just killed him. So it would be interesting to know if August knows that part of the story.
And August has a history of knowing a lot more than he initially lets on.
Mm-hmm. I did think it was noteworthy that they like made an effort to have this scene of him like coming up on his motorcycle and everything. I was like, this could have been done way more casually. So yeah, it seems like there's a lot more to it than even just what we got.
Everything with August so far feels so staged to me. And honestly, like, Once Upon a Time as a show sometimes is awkward. There were a couple of scenes in this episode that by themselves for no other reason just felt really choppy. And I wasn't sure if this was one of those cases or if it was supposed to be like very purposeful to make you feel kind of offbeat, I guess.
Yeah. And we did just have premiere, which Kristen and I loved, but it did put August kind of back in our, like, the forefront of our minds. Like, you know, like, oh, right, August knows Emma really well. Oh, right, August was here for that. Oh, right, August knows this. Oh, right, August can do that. There's a lot, like, it did a lot to push his character. And while we walked away from that episode being like, yay, more August, like, can we have August all the time? Now you bring up a good point. Like, do I want August all the time? Are they going to ruin this character? Because I didn't really give it that much thought, but he does know a lot and he tends to not show his hand very often. That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of motivation for why August would have gotten, like, if he does know something, like what he's trying to do or what he could be trying to do. I don't know. It just, I love him and I don't want him to be evil. So let's just,
I mean, he could be trying to protect Emma if he thinks that Killian is a bad match for her.
Mm-hmm.
True. There's some interesting chemistry between the two of them. So,
yeah, I've picked up on that there, especially when they were back in the Enchanted Forest and he didn't know, you know, about this other world. And he was like, I'm like, oh, he is clearly in love with her.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have to hold anything back because it was a different world. There was no Killian around. Well, there was a Killian around, but he wasn't a threat to August.
Oh my God. I lost it, you guys. That was so uncomfortable, but so funny.
Getting off the rum.
He was so precious and cute.
Water for drinking?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. We'll have to keep an eye on him. I really did enjoy seeing Pinocchio, though, in his fully CGI self. I thought that was just so well done and one of the best things. I mean, hopefully, maybe we'll see the ramifications of that being so awesome later on in the budget, you know? We'll get like a sock puppet monster that just creeps in. Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was awesome. And again, it points to the fact that he's been around for quite some time, whether or not he was a real boy the entire time, you know, he was there and he knows people and he knows a lot of untold stories, which we're still managing to get a lot of 6 seasons later. Let's go to you, Caitlin. What did you pick up on in this episode? And let's take us to a sad, sad, dark place.
Yes, because we couldn't just have nice things. We had to ruin things from the end. And my big question is just why that we had to have this. So the pages spark the memory for Killian that he, in fact, is the one who murdered David's father. And he had the opportunity to spare his life, but because he was back in his pirate days, he killed him. And so now David, having just given his blessing for Hook to marry Emma, or at least ask her, and all this episode very much has been going on about how much Hook has changed and how different he is from the man that he used to be, and that he helped David get through the issue that he faced and everything. Then we're going to cycle back to a big problem that was caused when he himself was a bad guy. So I just sort of thought, why did we need to add this in? Because things aren't messy enough already. We need to throw this wrinkle in, and now Killian's going to feel guilty and he's not going to be sure that he can marry Emma, and it's going to be dramatic.
That was a rough thing to see. I mean, Hook in the Rain is always a good thing, but Hook in the Rain killing your bro's dad was not the best time to see him in the rain.
Nope.
Yeah, it was it was a wrinkle I kind of felt coming from the second that it cut back to the flashback, and it's just one of those moments of dread where you feel like, all right, he can't get into the house without something going wrong. Everything is going too right. And for it to come on the heels of him talking David off of that ledge of, like, will actually killing someone make you feel better? What will make you feel better? You know the truth about your father. All of this stuff that happened, it's just, it's a hard thing to swallow. And it mirrored the story beautifully, but the circumstances of David not killing King George and David not knowing that Hook was actually the man responsible, or that's going to eat Hook alive. And we saw him go to therapy today. And, you know, in the preview, he's back on Archie's couch. Like, this is something that is, it's a big deal.
I was going to say, I mentioned this to Karen, like, as soon as the trailer ended, we saw him go to therapy, which is huge. And to see him go back to Archie and maybe not say exactly what's going on out loud and give Archie every minute detail, but he's talking to him about this too. He knows that he can't just hold on to it. Like, he's made that mistake before where he's tried to keep secrets and tried to just, you know, keep moving forward, and it always ends up coming out and he always ends up, you know, in trouble because of it. So I love that he has grown, and we are showing his growth by having him actually go to a, you know, a third party who's not involved directly and is talking the problem out. Like, it's just really nice to see growth and, like, actually see it.
Yeah. And it was something that we also liked a long time ago when Emma went to Archie, because, you know, she can't, there are certain things that she just couldn't talk to her family about. So she spoke to Archie. Like, him being a constant presence this season is really helpful for a lot of our characters. And he is able to keep his mouth shut, which I think is really interesting. Also, when I don't remember them ever changing him back from a cricket, so I'm sure.
I remember them stealing him back, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he tied up too or something and they got him out?
Probably.
Yeah.
That sounds
He's
right.
He's more of a damsel in distress than any of the females on the show.
It's an Archie in distress.
But yeah, Karen, what did you think of this wrinkle? Did you see it coming or?
No. I was really surprised, actually, and disappointed. But honestly, shocked at first, disappointed at first, because the Killian we know, you know, we don't want to believe he's done stuff like that, except we know he's done stuff like that. He was a pirate. He was ruthless. And it shouldn't be that much of a surprise. It was a good twist to the end. I'm actually not that worried about this, because when he did that, he was a different person. And it's not like he knew the whole time that he was the one that actually killed Charming's father. He sees the pages, and then he recognizes him, and then he remembers what happened. So it's not like he was being manipulative the whole time. Mm-hmm. So I think once he goes to talk to Archie, once he figures out the best way to approach both David and Emma and talk about it, things are going to be okay. I think that it might cause a little distress at first, but this show is getting better at having open communication between the characters, which, thank God, because that is one of my biggest pet peeves, is the miscommunication trope. So if they can kind of keep this up, and I realize they need this sort of thing for tension between characters, but as long as it wraps up fairly quickly, I'm okay with it. You know, Killian was a different person back then. It's not surprising that he killed somebody. As long as he takes responsibility and approaches people about it now, then I think I'm going to be happy.
I mean, luckily, Rumple really isn't involved, and normally that's the case where, you know, he doesn't say anything because Rumple's holding someone hostage or has a magic hand he wants back or, you know, something like that. So I think...
Normal things.
I think that having him out of the picture is going to be an important point because he can't put the blame on, like, anyone. You know, it's just on him. It's not like, oh, but this was at stake. Yeah, him proposing is, I guess, at stake, but him having a happy and healthy future is also the thing he's trying to save. So I think it'll be a... As much as this episode was a big step in the right direction for him and David, and for him to show, look, I'm not that person anymore, this is going to be an important moment for Killian to be like, yeah, I'm really not that person anymore. And to prove it even further, I'm going to own up to this and I'm going to give you the truth right now. And I mean, maybe even he should run it by Snow first while David's sleeping. I think that would be a great first step. I think she's a little more level-headed. So,
I think it says a lot about him too that he remembers that happened. Like, you kind of imagine that for as many people as he has clearly killed, like that was three people he just pretty thoughtlessly killed in that one scene, that they would start to kind of bleed together. But he like specifically remembers. So that tells me something about him.
Yeah, and he's always now trying to make up for things that he's done in his past. He's like, he always says, like you were saying, like this grand number, like, oh, I've killed, like, you know, so many people or this and that. And like you were saying, it does seem like it would blend together, but he is very aware of every act that he committed and is able to pinpoint faces to the crimes and murders he committed. So it does weigh on him, and he is growing and trying to learn to live with that every day, as well as doing some good. So
he's Angel.
Oh my God. Don't even start with me.
Oh, he's God. Even got the trench.
I know. It just hit me.
I don't have room in my life for two of Angels, and I cannot wish for Hook to also go bad. So I can't.
No. I can't. No, we've done that. That's done. That's done now. There's no Hook. I can't do the Angelus.
I was going to say Hook Killianus. Version.
Yeah, Killianus. I was trying to come up with one, and I'm like, nope, it's not going to work.
Oh boy, I'm going to need some time to digest that now. So, Kristen, let's talk about Josh Dallas's acting in this episode, because
it just blew me away. Like, we know that these people are capable of this. Like, the first season, I think, gave us a little more depth for some of them. You know, it's just the first time you're meeting these characters, so you're seeing them with fresh eyes. It's been a while since Josh and David has had like storyline all his own and something to really sink his teeth into. And this episode, my God, like from the beginning and just the whole way through, like it just grips you. And that scene with him and Killian is the one that just slayed me. Like, he is breaking down. Like, you can see the David we know and love, the charming, the, you know, the guy who doesn't believe in vengeance, just falling away because this guy in front of him, you know, is the one who took his dad, or is the one he believes took his dad. And like, that's knowing that, you know, he's just learned all of this stuff about his father, and seeing that all weighing on him, like, it's just, it was brilliant. And you know, we don't get a lot from Josh Dallas on a regular basis. So it was just a really beautiful episode to really showcase like what this character really has going on and what Josh Dallas can do.
Yeah, he's able to do a lot with just his eyes. It was really, really good. It was very good acting. And we really don't get to see a lot of these characters really pour themselves into roles, with the exception of, I think, Lana, because the Evil Queen is just, she is so good. She is, like, unbelievable. Yeah. And Robert Carlyle as Enchanted Forest Rumple is also, we get to see a lot of those acting chops in there. Mm-hmm. But for these more Storybrooke central characters, this was just, it was great. It's great to have this moment where it's not him and Snow, and he doesn't have, not having Snow, I think, has really given his character a lot of room to grow, and we get to see what he's like without the balance. And we didn't get a lot of that with Snow in this episode in particular, but to have David kind of be unhinged a bit and not have that voice or that person standing next to him reminding him of who he is, he got away from himself. And to have Hook be the person to bring him back was such a good choice for Once Upon a Time to dive into, especially because, yes, we know that Hook is trying to, you know, win over David and get Emma's hand out of the whole thing, but that's not his prime motivation. He's seeing this person in trouble and he's helping them.
What I really liked about that was, yeah, he's trying to butter David up, kind of, but not really, because he helps him because he's trying to help his friend. But he waits until the moment that David recognizes that he truly has changed as a person before he brings up the proposal. So he could be, you know, he could say, yeah, David, I'll do whatever you want, so you'll like me. Except he doesn't say that. He sticks to his guns. And then once David realizes this is who Killian is as a person now, then he brings out the ring and he asks for Emma's hand in marriage. So I think that was really mature on Killian's part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. He kind of puts his potential request in danger by stepping in to stop David from getting his revenge, because David very well, like, that could have gone very differently depending on how much of a rage David had gotten into at that point. And Killian knows full well what vengeance and revenge can do to you. So he knew full well he was putting this chance to butter David up, basically, like, at risk to help him, which was to his credit.
Yeah, I just thought every decision that was made, minus a little bit of the ending, but I see where they're going with it, was fantastic for both of them. And it gave them both a lot to work with and really dive into. And that scene right before he, like, after Hook puts King George back in his cell and is like, if this will make you feel better and make you a better person, then fine, go and do it. And he gives Charming just that moment alone with himself and his thoughts, and, like, Charming just breaks down. And I thought it was just really such a great, great moment for them to really, it pushed that character there. And, like, I think Josh Dallas did the work to earn that. And it was so good. It was so refreshing to see that on Once Upon a Time, because we don't really get a lot of it, I don't think, as much as I think these characters can be pushed. I think that they can do just a little bit more if they lean into what these characters are going through. So,
yeah, I agree. And honestly, David kind of annoyed me this episode because he kind of goes off half-cocked and you're frustrated with him because you're just like, wait, slow down, listen to Killian. He kind of knows what he's talking about in circumstances like this. But at the same time, you're right. It was so refreshing to see him actually do something, to see him have an emotion other than, you know, doe-eyed devotion to his wife, or this, I'll always find you, Emma, I love you kind of thing. And, like, I like that side of him. I like that the Charmings are sweet and good and pure, but it's nice to see something out of it that's different every once in a while. And he really showed us that he can do something different. So it was a good change, even if he did annoy me for 3/4 of the episode.
And then, of course, we had that. This scene brought us to finally where Killian is so nervous to ask David for Emma's hand. And, you know, he's like, I didn't know you were so old fashioned. He's like, I'm like 200 years old, man. How many times do I have to remind you of that?
It's so weird that the guy who was a full grown adult long before David was ever born.
Yeah.
Came for David's permission to ask his daughter, like, you're way older than everybody here, basically.
That's how much he loves Emma, though. He gets so nervous. It's really cute. That long, long pause between them
was so good.
Before David had any emotion on his face, I was worried. Like, I knew what the outcome was going to be, but I was like, oh my God, what if he says no? Like, what if? And he just holds it as long as possible, and then you get that slow smile, and I was like, thank God. Well, and I see Killian sweating bullets.
I have to say, in the middle of that long pause, they went to this, like, note in the score that I swear to God sounded like a ship horn. And it was, like, long. And I was like, did they really just do that? Like, I started to kind of, like, laugh. And then that's when David's smirk kind of started. So I'm like, okay, we're in the clear. But it was a good moment. Like, give David a chance to kind of get to the place to be like, yeah, of course, dude. Yeah, I love you.
And props to David for saying, but by the way, it's Emma's choice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
absolutely.
It was so good. This whole episode, I think, was a great jumping off point for their characters and just showcasing what all of this cast can do if they just give them the chance. So come on, Henry. We're rooting for you to get a storyline this season. I know you went canoeing, but it's the middle of winter and you probably shouldn't have been canoeing. Oh, boy.
Sigh.
So Robin is in town. This is what I feel like talking about. And he's a little crazy. He's not adjusting well to his life in Storybrooke. And Regina's beginning to not only notice that he's having a hard time, but that he's not the person that he was. And Snow, when she is awake, is kind of just used as a guidance counselor for Regina in this episode. And she expresses the same concerns that, yes, Robin came back, but he's not going to be the same person. And then it starts to sort of click, like, okay, well, why was Robin able to come back? And is there some sort of greater purpose for his presence in their lives? And I don't know about you guys, but I took it away as it being the greater purpose wasn't something vindictive or vengeful. And Kristen and I were kind of talking about this last week where, you know, maybe Robin is there to kill the evil queen half and like, but he can only do it through self-sacrifice and something like that. But this episode got me thinking that maybe Robin's greater purpose really is just being there to let Regina accept that he is done. Like, this isn't Robin and Robin isn't ever going to come back. And it's going to be the closure that she needs. So what did you guys think of his attitude and just how he's behaving? And then maybe we should talk about Zelina showing up to the door.
I don't know. This whole Robin storyline right now is kind of confusing me because I finished watching the premiere just a couple of hours before we watched this episode. And I was like, are they really bringing Robin back? Because if so, like, I'm kind of into it. Even if he is different, I like the idea that he can be his own character with his own quirks. I love the original Robin, but I like the idea that maybe this is a Robin that needs a little more guidance and a little more help. And to see Regina help him along his path could be really fulfilling for her, even without a romantic attachment. And I was kind of into the idea of them getting together again, even if the dynamic is a little bit different. Regina has been, she's been trampled on so many times and she's lost so much that I just want her to be happy. And if that means this, you know, second Robin is still kind of still works for her, then like I could probably get into that. But the idea that he could potentially be not an evil Robin, but somebody who is a bit more manipulative, who maybe doesn't want to improve, who just wants to get his revenge and be who he is and, you know, everyone else be damned. That feels like stepping on the original Robin's memory for me, and that's a little worrisome. And also, Brittany brought up, like, maybe he's the one to take down the evil queen with self-sacrifice. Like, I'm going to be so mad if they brought him back just to kill him off again.
Well, we came to that whole conclusion about his self-sacrifice after a whole line of discussion. And I think we came to the conclusion that, like, because he's from another universe that doesn't actually exist and he really shouldn't be there, that, like, the reason that he's there, like, he's almost like another side of Robin. Like, he's kind of like the same thing that Regina's side is. It's just Robin is gone. So in order for her evil half to be killed, he may have to make the killing blow, and that could eventually take him out, because we assumed that he wasn't going to be around forever. As far as I know, I don't think he's joined the regular cast again. So it's like we were trying to kind of make it all make sense.
Yeah, and give him a proper farewell, because, again, he's one of those, like, ticking time bombs. You don't really know how long or why he is there. And I think it was smart of the show to put that in front of us this episode, being like, okay, well, what exactly is going on here? Is it okay for him to be back? Is it going to help Regina, or is this only going to hurt her more? And like you were saying, Karen, she's lost so many battles and so much in this show. I honestly, she is the strongest person I've ever seen on television, because she's gone through the ringer quite a few times. But for her to recognize that he needs to go away, and it might just help her move on. I don't know what we're gonna do with him. We'll have to see. But that kiss, I was so excited when it was happening, and then you kind of like know immediately that it's not. It's there's nothing there, and it. I think he was just doing it to also see what it felt like, you know, if there was something there that could bring him back to the person that she said he was in this world. So
about what his purpose was. Is excited there was no spark there, just because how cool would it be if these two developed a friendship, and that Regina was able to move on despite the fact that, like, literally the person she was in love with, she has to look at every day knowing that it's not actually him, but that she can be that person who helps him along the way. Like, I like the idea of having a platonic friendship between these two people, because there really was nothing in that kiss. Like, you felt it immediately. But then again, like, that also is kind of a constant knife in the side of Regina. Mm-hmm. So I'd feel kind of bad if that were the case too.
And once Regina is completely over it and has moved on, and we are so proud of her, then he can go and romance Belle, and Rumpel can die.
Done. Okay. I knew we'd work him into this episode, even though he wasn't in it at all.
Done.
Oh, gosh. We will talk more about him next week and get Caitlin's take on Rumpelstiltskin. But if you follow her live tweets up until this point, you probably know what you're in for. So
I did want to ask.
Yes.
Did anyone else read anything into the one thing we got from Rumpel, which was that he made a deal that he didn't end up the winner on and just let it go?
I rolled my eyes so hard.
Like, I almost, part of me wonders if they were, like, trying to sow the seed that he has done unselfish things in the past. Like, they're trying to plant it now, and they're going to, like, water it, and every so often we're going to get little things where, and I'm like, it is too late. You cannot redeem him. Like, no, him not holding David's dad to this deal is nothing. Like, this does not, you know, make up for any of the stuff he did. But I kind of wondered if that's what they were, like, starting here.
That's why I rolled my eyes.
It was so awkward, too, because he's sitting there and he's like, oh, maybe we'll both get to reunite with our sons one day. And I was like, since when is Rumpelstiltskin so sentimental? Yeah. Yes, we've seen him care, marginally about people before, but this is prime Rumpel, where he is willing to do whatever it takes to get whatever he wants, and he can see so far in the future that he is pulling strings that other people don't even know exist. And all of a sudden he's, you know, waxing poetic about his own son and missing him. And I'm like, it felt like I turned to Kristen and I was like, that was weird. Like, it was choppy and it felt so out of place that I feel like the writers are trying to do something there and it's just not working.
Yeah. And if you think about it, like, Prince Charming and James are only 6 when this happens. You remember all of the stuff they did when they're grown? Like, it doesn't even hold a, like, this is such an early Rumpel. Like, he hasn't met Belle. None of that has happened yet. Like,
right.
None of the horrible stuff that we know that he's done has even crossed his mind yet. Like, Regina has to be little still when this is said. So this is really early Rumpel. Like, what are the only thing that they're proving to us with this little moment is that he can't move past something and he can't work to be a better person. He can only lean into being dark. So it does, for me, it was just like exactly what Caitlin said, like an eye roll moment. Like, you cannot be serious that you're trying to go there. So I don't buy it. I don't.
Stop trying to make Fetch happen.
Yes.
Stop trying to make Rumpel happen.
It's like, God, please, please.
So gross. I just wanted to get to a little bit of listener feedback, and it's not so much a tweet that was in particular, but something that we've been getting a lot of, which is, what do we think the renewal odds are for Once Upon a Time? Season 7 has not been announced, but it has been confirmed that 4 of the leading actors are working out contracts for a potential season 7. So contracts are ending with season 6. Everyone's up for renewal. It's been said that they are happy to invite everyone back, but they are looking at getting new characters. They've added 2 actors. One is the little girl who plays young Jane on Jane the Virgin, and another one is from The Walking Dead. I don't watch The Walking Dead, so it doesn't really stick out in my mind who it is. But
his name is Andrew West, and he was on Greek before he was on The Walking Dead. Okay. And
thank you.
I liked you, him, Kristen, on Greek, and I hated him on Walking Dead, so you know.
Okay, well, they're looking to cast both of them should season... They are cast. They're coming at the end of season 6. They will play a much larger role if season 7 is confirmed and announced. One thing that the creators and the network executives have pointed to is that when Adam and Eddie went to pitch season 7, they sort of reset. I kind of think we're going to expect to have a sort of like a season 6 that's tied with a bow. It's not going to be a huge cliffhanger should season 7 not be picked up. I'm very optimistic that it will be picked up, but I think one of the more interesting things is that Robert Carlyle is one of the top 4 looking to extend his contract. And in my mind, I was like, I think he might be done. I think he might be ready to walk away. And he's not, which I think is just interesting. And, you know, if they do extend his contract, you know, Rumpel can't die. So I know
Gold can die. Gold, even if Rumpel can't.
Gold can die. And that would be actually really interesting if they only kept his Enchanted Forest counterpart. That could work. I mean,
he's
live
tied
with
to
that.
Literally every story. It would still give him plenty of screen time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you guys think? Do you think season 7 is a shoo-in or...
I really think it is, to be honest. The show is solid enough and the world is expansive enough that I don't think they're going to run out of stories anytime soon.
I really think that they will get a season 7. I think it has a lot to do with who they can get back. Let's face it, Once Upon a Time, without Emma, Regina, Hook, and or Henry, I mean, he's been nominal of use this year especially, but like, a show without them kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. I think there are, you know, the Rumpels and the Bells that could be written off pretty easily. You know, maybe even the Charmings, if you needed to kind of use them limitedly, that would be possible. But you really have to get those main stars back. And since they're in, you know, three of those four that I mentioned are the ones in negotiation, I think there's a really good chance at season seven.
I would say TV Grim Reaper has it at a 50% chance right now. So literally either way, but it's the highest, most likely show that TV Grim Reaper has from Sunday night to be renewed. So I feel like from that perspective, it could be more likely to be renewed in that it's like the Sunday night anchor show and it can't, the ABC can't really seem to keep anything alongside it alive. So if they can keep one show consistent another season, I can see them renewing Once Upon a Time to anchor a night and then try some more shows.
Yeah, I would be fine too if Once Upon a Time switched to the new model of TV where it's 13 episodes. I think they could do a solid 13 episodes and be done with it. Do it like a winter premiere. But if it's doing well enough, I think they can probably get away with another 22, 23 episodes. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of fairy tales to twist and bend and write and characters to keep track of.
And if they keep jumping into literature, which they've done a little bit of, but if they kind of do more of that, then I think that could be really interesting and really different.
Yeah, as long as it's not like Jekyll and Hyde, where you kill both of them off within like three episodes, because they were so good. I'm so angry.
We just really loved Hyde.
Oh my God, I love Hyde so much. He was so interesting.
Why was he so attractive?
Oh, I understand this. it's one of those questions that keeps me up at night.
Yeah.
Just wake up at 3 a.m. Why was Hyde so attractive? Oh, boy. All right. Well, next week, like we said, Rumpel is back. We get more with Gideon and Hook goes back to therapy. So there'll be a lot to talk about and catch up on when we return next week with episode 13, Ill Boding Patterns. So until then, I'm Brittany.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.